Two Foods, The Chef's Table on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.
So I have returned then to True Foods, The Chef's Table. I'm here with Darren and Alid. Hello, both of you.
Hi.
Hi there.
Valentine's Day, arguably the most loved up day of the year. We have a few romantic ideas for people. Let's start with the word aphrodisiac. If people don't know what an aphrodisiac is, what is it? Explain to me what is meant to happen.
Well, apparently it's the
only parts of what's meant to happen.
The clean version. It's food that gets you in the mood, shall we say. So it's certain different foods just have the sort of enzyme that will make your brain sort of click and get you in the mood for the evening.
The one that I know most, or know that is definitely an aphrodisiac, oysters. Is that the most well-known aphrodisiac, do you think?
I would say definitely one of the top two. I think oysters and asparagus are quite key to, you know, the reputation. Oysters is a funny one because I'd say probably only maybe 10-20% of the nation actually enjoy oysters, especially raw. I think people always, you know, think that oysters are going to be slimy and all this sort of thing and don't want to be chewing on it. And it's weird because it's not the sexiest food, but apparently it's the most, you know, food with the most aphrodisiac in there. So it's a strange one, but again, I think for me, oysters are probably better served cooked, which is a strange one because you think of always having oysters raw, but you can also cook an oyster. So you can poach an oyster lightly if you want to. If you don't enjoy the texture of an oyster, then just lightly poach it. Another great way for Brits is deep frying. So you can get a nice sort of batter like you would a fish and chips, or more classically is a Japanese tempura. So it's a little bit lighter, a lot lighter on the mouth, but crispier as well. So if you have a tempura crispy oyster, for me, it's the only way I enjoy eating an oyster.
So we've done oysters then with Alid. Darren, should we come to you with asparagus? Apparently another aphrodisiac. So what should we be doing with our asparagus, so to speak?
Well, you'll be able to get asparagus from your supermarket or your local greengrocer. So maybe just lightly blanch the asparagus. So you just want to cook the asparagus 3/4 of the way through and then into iced water, which will help to retain the colour and stop the asparagus from overcooking. And then perhaps you could serve it with a poached egg, some parmesan shavings, and maybe a little bit of a crispy bacon.
Question about the poached egg though. I have a theory that I have the best poaching egg method known to man, which is a brave thing to say, I think, in a kitchen full of chefs. Would you like to hear my poached egg method?
Please do.
Yeah, it'd be terribly embarrassing if you said no. So I boil a pan of water, I put a tiny hole in the end of the egg, which you do have to do very carefully. Then put the egg in there, still in its shell, some air bubbles come out. I've been told that it creates like a sac around the egg. I put a bit of vinegar in the water and then crack the egg in very gently. And it's a poached egg dream. What do you think of my method?
For me, you're only as good as your egg. So you have to start with the freshest egg possible. If you have a week old egg, no matter what scientifically you can do to that egg, it won't be a very good poached egg. You have to start with a really, really fresh egg, which we're blessed at True Foods because we have our own Marin egg. So if you can get to a farm or anything like that and get a really fresh egg, then you're going to win every day. Because if you think you're adding vinegar and all sorts to your water, then your egg is taking on that flavour, so you're not getting the true flavour of that egg. You're going to get all the acidity.
So you think my putting holes in, the vinegar, all of that doesn't actually matter?
Don't know. I've never tried it, so I couldn't tell you. It does make sense. By putting that little hole, then you are going to set the egg white or the albumen, so you are going to set the shape slightly. So it sort of slightly makes sense what you're talking about, but for me, you need a fresh egg, and that's
fresh
all you need.
Fresh is best.
Fresh is best, and it always will be. And then you don't need to put anything else in your water. You've got water, you've got egg, it'll keep its shape, because the way it does it, the egg white will start to break down in time, and then suddenly, when you put an egg into a frying pan, if it's really fresh, it'll stay nice and stiff, and then you get a perfect sort of round egg. But if you get an older egg, you'll always see the sort of the egg white running around, so you get a sort of string-ons onto your fried egg, so then you know your egg isn't quite fresh enough.
Okay, right, well, let's have some fresh eggs for Valentine's Day. We'll go with your method, Alid, rather than mine. Any more aphrodisiacs? I've heard that, well, we should probably have something for pudding, shouldn't we? Chocolate? Isn't that meant to be one?
Chocolate is on the list, so again, I think everybody loves chocolate. Most people love chocolate. I know it's always a nice thing to do for cooking for your partner. So you've always got chocolate tarts, chocolate souffles, chocolate fondants, all these sort of desserts that people sound like it's going to be difficult, but it doesn't have to be. And there's a lot of things you can prepare earlier as well. You can do it the day before or in the afternoon. You don't have to do all of it that evening, because you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be stuck in the kitchen all night. You want to enjoy your evening and sit down with your loved one and have a nice meal, not stressing around in the kitchen and you know, working. So anything like a chocolate fondant or a chocolate tart that you can make, put it in the fridge, and then when you want it, put it in the oven, cook it for 12 minutes and then enjoy it. But looking at the list of aphrodisiacs as well, there's chilies on the list. Well, chili goes really well with chocolate, strangely, as well. So chili and chocolate,
I've heard that combo,
is a good combo. So if chili can bring something to the party, then why not? Watermelon is on the list, which again, I've never thought of watermelon being an aphrodisiac. Avocado, you've got pumpkin seeds, celery, which again sounds a little bit strange to me. Figs, so fig and chocolate is a really good combination. Strawberries, again, it's a difficult one because you're cooking in February, so you've got asparagus, which is perfect in May, June, but you can get a really nice Peruvian one. But if you want to support British, then you're not going to get British strawberries, you're going to get flying from warmer climates. Cinnamon and basil, pine nuts, so that to me straight away screams pesto. So you've got a nice pesto to go with a piece of fish. Salmon's on the list as well, so salmon and pesto, there you go.
Yeah, I love that combination, very good.
Sweet potato, ginger, and coconut water.
What is a much bigger list than I thought it was going to be? Well, both of you, thank you very much. Best of luck to anyone out there experimenting with aphrodisiacs. Feel free to let us know the results, but with not very much detail at all. We shall put this list at strayfm.com/food. Both of you, a very happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much.
Two Foods, the Chef's Table on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.